Добрый день. Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще ватка. Наш полет включает борщ. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Bob Green is going to be with us from Windows on the Boulevard Restaurant in Pasadena, and he has just won an award from various restaurateurs out there. We're going to talk to him about that. And of course, Thanksgiving's coming up, so there's going to be a little bit of a cooking thing. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to check on the Gary Coleman auction. I thought it would be interesting. First of all, I'd like to see how well it's doing, and if it's not, or if it needs a little kick, maybe we can provide it for them. We'll just do a play-by-play, basically, on how his auction's going. And so we'll do that. Let's take a couple of calls that we're hanging over from last hour. This is West L.A. on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Yeah, Phil, how are you?
Good.
Phil, I was listening with great interest to the Phil the Prophet segment, and I will tell you something, as long as you're talking about race, I want to challenge you, and I'd like to challenge your listeners. I live with my mother. I was divorced 3 years ago, and I moved back in to actually purchase a home, and I moved my mother in with me. And she's a great gal. She's 81 years old. But it's kind of offset by the embarrassment that I feel of living in a home where you have these sort of race symbols. And I will challenge you and your listeners.
What is your mother in the Klan?
No, sir. She's not in the Klan. No, sir.
Okay. What's the problem?
I challenge you and your listeners to try and tell. You try and tell an 80-year-old woman that lawn jockeys are not cool. Okay?
And you've got lawn jockeys out in front of the house.
My mother has not only a very, very evidently African-American lawn jockey out front. She's also got a small statue of an African-American leaning against a street lamp, drinking something out of a bag, and that is on her front lawn. And
these are on her, I've never seen anything like that.
It's one of these cement figurines, yeah. Now, the interesting thing is, I will tell her, I say to her, Mom, these things are racist symbols of a bygone era, and they are offensive to certain people. We have delivery people. We've got all kinds of people coming to the door, some of whom are black. And she has this lawn jockey, and I have told her, and I have told her in a nice way, we've got an argument about it, you can't have that. Okay?
And what does she say?
She just doesn't get it. She doesn't get it. You try and tell an 80-year-old woman, an 81, 82-year-old woman, who comes from a different era, who might have lived around, Arcadia, or down in Del Mar out in Inglewood, where you've got the tracks out here.
And you're referring to Santa Anita, Del Mar, and Hollywood Park.
That's correct.
And for people listening in Miami, there's Gulfstream, and there's Hialeah, and there's Pimlico. There's all kinds of tracks. There's obviously Churchill Downs for our Louisville listeners.
Right. Well, no matter where you live, these racetracks, everybody's got the lawn jockey going on if they're over the age of 80. And I told her, you can't do that. And for me...
Well, that's embarrassing. It is. Why don't you just move them?
Because she wants them moved back. We've got a guy who does the gardening around here. Ernest is his name. If I move the lawn jockey into the garage, she gets Ernest to move it back out there.
So you move the lawn jockey into the garage, and she has it moved?
She has it moved right back. Now, I'm not saying that I want my mother to move out. I'm not saying any of the sort. But I'm telling you, you talk about race, and you talk about the difficulty in communicating these things. You try and tell an 80-year-old woman, not a man.
I was gonna ask, you're differentiating between men and women.
Yeah, the men, you can sometimes get through to them. I mean, they're old. 80 years old, 81 years old, they're old. But sometimes the men, because they have a history of debate and conversation and discussing politics, sometimes the men understand. But the women, and when they get to be 80, you can kiss it goodbye. Any effort at logic. And I will sit down over a cup of tea, and I'll make myself a cup of coffee. I'll make a cup of tea for my mother, and I'll sit down with her.
I was going to say, do you try and explain in a very, very...
Oh, I've tried explaining in a slow manner. I said to her, Mom, you can't, hey, you can't do it. Black lawn jockeys, no. You can't do...
Yeah, but do you tell her why?
I tell her that it's offensive to some people. And she says to me, oh, bull crap, we've had it since you were a boy. When we lived out in Arcadia, we had the lawn jockeys. It's a part of our tradition. And I will say to her, it's offensive to black people. She says, oh, that's baloney. And why can't we do it? The black people are too sensitive and all of that. I said, you can't do it.
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in Arcadia, and I remember lawn jockeys. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, these are cement figures, probably about 2.5 feet high, and they show a jockey who has his sort of his arm outstretched and a bridle ring hanging from his arm, almost as if he's holding onto a horse. And he's wearing full jockey uniform, and most of them are black. Now, let me say this to you, if I might, sir. Most of the great jockeys early on in the history of thoroughbred racing in this country were African-American.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they were. Some of the greatest jockeys the country has ever known in the late 19th century, mid to late 19th century, were black jockeys. They got pushed out of the business for racist reasons. Most of the white jockeys took over because the black jockeys, they wouldn't give them mounts anymore. When the money really started to increase in the sport, when people started to make really good money and people were really betting big money, the black jockeys were forced out of the sport. The white jockeys took over. And since that time, I don't think you have seen a significant influx of African-American jockeys. Ever since then, it just hasn't happened. We've had white jockeys. We have a lot of Latin jockeys, a lot of Latin American jockeys. I haven't followed racing in quite some time, so I don't know how many black jockeys are left in the sport, if any. But there was a period, you know.
Yeah, but that's not what that's about. That's about some guy, you know, the lawn jockey is about a guy. Go water the horse, boy. Go water the horse, boy, and go get him some oats.
And yeah, I know. That's the way it's taken by a lot of people. And
what are you doing? What do you think you're doing?
What do you mean, what do I think I'm doing?
What are you defending it? Mister, you're committing media suicide if you're defending the lawn jockey.
And I'm not defending the lawn jockey. I'm explaining the history of thoroughbred racing and the position of African-American jockeys in the sport. They used to...
Mister, you're committing media suicide if you're out here telling me that I gotta have boy go water the oats statue out in front of my house. And
it's not called boy go water the oats statue. It's a lawn jockey.
It's a black boy who's supposed to go fetch some oats. And that's what you're talking about. And you try telling some old bag, and I love my mother deeply, Phil. I don't want you to get me wrong. But you try telling some old bag that's 80 years of age that put my father through more hell than you can well imagine. Killed him by the time he was 60. Now my mother, who's outlived my father by about 23 years, now this old bag is living in my home, and she's sticking a lawn jockey out in front of my house. I put up with a lot, but I don't think I have to put up with that. But I'll tell you...
Well, we don't have any solutions. I just gave it a history of it. Anybody with any intelligence might not be that offended by it, but I'll tell you, I don't have a solution.
Oh, there is no solution, because you can't do it. As long as my mother lives with us, that bag's going to have her lawn jockey out there.
The old bag, huh?
That's what she is. The bag has... Oh, God, the bag. Wow, that bag.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, for your input. Sorry about your lawn jockey. But I really do believe that if anybody knew anything about thoroughbred racing, they might even consider the black lawn jockey to be an homage to a day gone by when the only great jockeys in this country were black. However, I realize that we don't live in, you know, nobody knows anything about history, so screw it. So that's our motto around here. Nobody knows anything about history, so screw education. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. Your name's Larry, right?
Yes, Phil.
And you're calling?
I'm calling from Arcadia, and I heard the comments from some of these other people about lawn jockeys and things like that. And I, really, my essential point was, when you have a member of that generation that grew up with those things, and you try to tell them it's offensive, there's not a chance.
Try telling an 80-year-old lady that a lawn jockey isn't cool, is what you said.
That's right. And that is a situation I have in my home.
Okay, here is, I want to talk to somebody in Sarasota on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, I think that guy out there in Arcadia, man, he's got to grow some balls and tell his mom what's up.
I told her what's up. You've been listening?
Well, Jesus, man. Who
I told her what's
you
up.
Her.
I said to her that it's offensive. You tried telling her.
And throw them out if it offends you.
You can't throw stuff out that belongs to somebody else, number one. But I moved them back in the garage. She gets somebody, she hires the guy that does the garden to move them back out.
Please put them somewhere else. Send them to a friend's house.
These belong to her.
But whose house is it? Who's the house belong to?
The house belongs to her.
The house belongs
to her. The house is hers?
Yes.
No, you said earlier, man.
You said that she moved.
Bought a house and yet you're not moving in with you.
Yeah, my mother purchased the house, though.
Oh, now your mother purchased the house.
I never said she didn't.
I don't know, man.
All right, anyway, you know what? He can't move that stuff. It belongs to somebody else. Is that it? Belongs to somebody else. He can't move it. Is that it? Sarasota?
Yeah.
Bug off. Okay, thanks a lot for your call, pal.
Well, you know, I'm just...
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Let's get Bob Green in here. He is with Windows on the Boulevard in Pasadena. And I think you just came from a kind of a big day for you, Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was, Phil. I had I just had a gratifying time with a number of the guys here in Pasadena. And it's been an exciting day. I'm a little bit worn out.
What was the award?
Well, the award was essentially an innovation and an idea that everyone feels is really going to regenerate not only our business, but the business of restaurants throughout the country. And we're introducing it for the Thanksgiving season. And what a day it has been to be honored by a group of our fellow restaurateurs for this innovation. We are excited. We're worn out. We've been working nonstop for the last 2 days implementing these ideas. We're going to have the ideas implemented in time for Thanksgiving. And what can I tell you, Phil? It's a wonderful thing.
Well, can you tell us what the idea is? Now, I know that your restaurant, like a lot of restaurants, has fallen on hard times and has, you know, had to sort of pick itself up.
Well, really what we are talking about, Phil, is one of the oldest concepts in the book when it comes to food service, but it's never, ever been tried in restaurants. And we very freely tell you now that this is going to reinvent our restaurant and this is going to reinvent the restaurant business. And it's been a long time, Phil, since something this revolutionary has come along.
All right, before you tell us what the idea is that you're going to be implementing, what is the last truly revolutionary idea in restaurants?
Well, I think, personally, Phil, the last really revolutionary idea was the drive-through restaurant. That came about in the 1960s with the introduction of Jack in the Box. They were the first really, truly drive-through restaurant. Before that, you had car hops. But restaurant innovations don't come along all that often. So when you do see one, you take notice of it. You know, really, restaurant service hasn't changed all that much. You get a menu. You sit down at a table and you order food. What we're doing is not so much the way the food is served, but the food itself. And that is where I don't think a lot of restaurants have been innovative. Yes, you do have different cuisine. We've seen the resurgence of the Japanese sushi tempura or teppan cuisine. We've seen a resurgence in Mexican cuisine and Italian cuisine, but not in the way that the food is prepared. And what we're doing with our restaurant, which is an American Continental restaurant, is something totally revolutionary.
Okay, well, what exactly is the innovation? When can we expect to see this? And we want to find out more about your restaurant.
All right, I will tell you what the innovation is, Phil, by asking you this question. What is the most popular form of food, would you say, just regular food? When you get up in the middle of the night, or when you look into the icebox for some lunch, what are you looking for?
When you get up in the middle of the night, I don't know, are you looking for a sandwich?
No, but what What is the most fun to eat cold, for instance?
Pizza?
All right. I'm gonna answer my own question for you. People love leftovers. And we are implementing in our restaurant, beginning this weekend, what we call table-to-table service. And what that means is, if you order, for instance, our noodles, our pasta with marinara sauce, we negotiate between tables. We'll go to another table where they're eating the pasta with marinara sauce. We'll find out if they're going to finish. We'll find out if they're going to finish it.
Uh-huh.
And if they're not, if they want to doggy bag it, we'll say, you know what, instead, we're going to take it over to table three. So let's say you order the... Let's say you come into our restaurant, Phil.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you order the noodles with marinara sauce.
Okay.
I'll go over to a table where a guy's already eating that, and let's say he's done eating and he has some left.
Yeah.
And I'll ask him, do you mind if I take this over to that table?
I see. So I'm going to get that guy's...
You're going to get his food. You want meatloaf? We'll find three patrons who aren't done yet and make you a full plate. And
What if they're not? What if they want to keep eating?
No. If they want to keep eating, they get to eat it. But we'll ask them the question, are you going to finish that? And if they're not, we take that, we reconstitute it with some other noodles, and you have yourself a great dish of pasta with marinara sauce at one-third the price. Ordinarily, pasta and marinara sauce is going to cost you $8, $9, $10. You get it for $3.
Wow.
See what I mean about leftovers? This is an idea that no other restaurant has even approached.
All right, I'm going to get back with Bob Green here. Windows on the Boulevard, they're going to be serving leftovers starting this weekend at one-third the price. We'll be back. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Gracias por volar en la aerolínea aérea de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también green card.
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. We welcome back to our show restaurant owner Bob Green. He owns Windows on the Boulevard in Pasadena. And they are starting a revolutionary new plan, a new way of serving food. It's called Table to Table. And it begins this weekend. And they'll be featuring leftovers, which means that if you order their meatloaf, they go to someone else's table, someone who's not going to finish theirs, and you get their leftovers for one-third what the ordinary price is. You guys are very, very excited about this. And I know you got an award from local restaurateurs up there.
And Phil, I think the other thing that's very important, if your family's on a budget, and certainly with Thanksgiving coming up,
Will this table-to-table service be available at Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. So if you bring the family in and you're ordering turkey and the works for the entire family, we'll go to somebody else's table and ask them, are you going to finish that? And then we put it into a large, we scrape the plates off into a container, and then we heat it. We reheat it.
So you are getting it piping hot.
You're getting it piping hot. We reheat it, and then we scrape it off onto a plate and bring it to your table. It's dynamite. It's just tremendous.
All right, Bob, when's your restaurant open?
So we're open 7 days a week, open from 10 a.m. Bar closes at midnight, and we serve American Continental, anything from meatloaf, pasta with marinara, pasta with pesto, a full array, a full entrees of steaks and roast beef and prime rib. We've got delicious garlic potatoes. We have a tremendous dirty rice dish. And I'll tell you what, we have something we want to tell you about, that a lot of people are upset with the fact that when they get the meat, there's teeth marks on it, and we'll trim those off. we will...
You'll trim off the teeth. What do you mean, the teeth mark?
Well, a lot of times, if you're getting food from another table, in our table-to-table service, there are, you know, like ribs, you'll find that there's teeth marks in it. And we'll trim that off, because I think that puts off a lot of people, and I think that's the only weakness that we have seen in our table-to-table service, that there are bite marks or teeth marks on the ribs. So what we do is we take that back in the kitchen, we trim the teeth marks off, and voila, you have yourself a delicious meal. And again, it's for one-third the price.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question here about all of this, because there are questions that some people have had about hygiene.
Well, Phil, we've offset that.
Well, I know, but the hygiene, you know, whether somebody's had a sore throat, how do you address that?
Well, let me ask you this. If you're willing to eat your own leftovers, which I assume you are, correct?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Are you willing to eat your own leftovers?
Yes, I am.
All right. If you are not afraid of eating your own leftovers, why should anybody else be afraid of eating your leftovers, correct?
Well, no, but suppose I have a cold or something.
I was going to address that, but I want to be clear on one thing. You don't have a problem eating your own leftovers, right?
I do not have that problem, no.
All right. What we do is we reheat everything so that you don't have to worry about germs, you don't have to worry about saliva or anything like that. Everything is reheated. So there is no problem. By cooking the leftovers, we kill the bacteria. So people don't have to worry about a thing, and it is absolutely delicious. And I'll tell you something, Phil, at one-third the price, you can't beat it. It's a tremendous thing. Windows on the Boulevard inaugurating table-to-table service this weekend.
It is unusual, I'll say that for you, Bob. But if restaurateurs have gathered around you and say that this is an innovation...
They frankly think this is the biggest innovation in food service since the drive-thru.
Then I certainly have to applaud you for that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You call it table to table, but it's people eating each other's leftovers for one-third the price. Here's Billings on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing, Phil? Calling from Billings, Montana. You guys are bouncing off some ionosphere somewhere, and I'm catching you up here on the highway. But I think this guy is just absolutely stoned by thinking that other people would want to go eat.
Well, I've been in the restaurant business for a long time, and I can tell you what people want is value, and they want economy.
Well, no, they want to eat their own food. They don't want to go around eating off of other people's plates.
No,
I think this is just absolutely ridiculous.
They don't have to, and giggling
when you're talking about this.
No. What I was laughing about is my daughter is here. And she's showing us the menu, and there's a couple of guys here in the restaurant who are revamping the bar, and they were fooling around, and I'm trying to be serious.
Well, what you need to do is get them out of there.
I'm sorry?
You need to get, if anybody's going to distract you, get them out of the room.
Well, I did, but she was making some jokes in the background.
Well, yeah, because you're eating off somebody else's plate, pal.
Well, nobody
in the world is going to want to eat.
Let me tell you, I've been in the restaurant.
Food.
People love leftovers, okay? And that's something that is an absolute fact. You can't argue against that. I'm in the restaurant business, so I know what I'm talking about. We're taking the idea of eating leftovers, and we make it palatable. We make it an enjoyable experience. We even sell unfinished beverages. Of course, we can't always identify.
Backwash in your soda? I mean,
you know something, America, I don't know if you're familiar with this. You live in Billings, Montana.
Hey, I lived in Orange County.
I don't know if you're familiar with the fact that Americans throw away $3 billion worth of food a year. We're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. What do you mean backwash? What we do is we take drinks that are unfinished, we consolidate them.
Are you talking about like in the bar?
A bit left in the soda.
We heat everything and pasteurize it.
You repasteurize the germs and everything that go back through.
When you pasteurize something, you're killing the germs. Hello.
How do you pasteurize a soda?
You heat it up. Hello.
A soda? You ever have a warm Coke?
Sir, then we cool it back down again. If you're not familiar with the process.
Well, you lose your carbonation in the process.
Well, listen, don't tell me I'm in the restaurant business.
No, wait a minute. I mean, it's a good question, okay? How do you reheat a guy's beer? Are you telling me you're throwing a bunch of left?
You know, when you go down the bar, you find a little bit of beer left in a glass. We throw it all together for one big beer.
That's disgusting.
What is disgusting about that?
Ever go?
You got a guy backwashing into
drinking beer? I wouldn't want to drink out of their glass.
So you want to go ahead and spend the outrageous prices that people spend on
beer? Hey, I'll spend the money for
clean
beer.
You want to spend $8 for a beer, that's your business.
How much does a beer cost?
About $2 for a beer here in Billings.
What's a beer cost in your restaurant?
Beer at our restaurant's $1.50. You can't beat it.
All right, here is Irvine on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Hello, Bill?
Yes, it's Phil Henry. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Yes, I was calling. See, this is absurd. There must be some kind of a health reasons against this. I mean, is this guy for real?
Ma'am, tell me you don't like leftovers.
Listen, there's no way I would go around eating other people's leftovers. You're out of your mind.
Let me ask something. Remember when, as a kid, you would go to the soda fountain and mix all the sodas together? It's the same principle. It's called a suicide, and that's our specialty.
Did the health department approve this?
What's not to approve? It's food.
I bet you they don't know. They find out that we're coming to close down the establishment.
Let me ask you something, okay? Let's suppose you're in my restaurant, and you're enjoying our wonderful meatloaf.
Okay.
And I walk over to your table. I'm your waiter, and I say, are you going to finish that?
I would be pissed off if you even asked me that.
Well, like, what if you were done with it? Well, let's say you were done with it, and I walked over and said, are you going to finish that?
What if, like, I cough all over it, and then I'm going to say, okay, I'm finished it. Why don't you give it to the lady across the room?
Ma'am, if it's been eaten once, that's proof that it's not bad.
You know what? This is absurd. My husband is a chef. If I tell him that, he's going to laugh his brains out.
He'll laugh because he's not an innovative thinker. The reason why I've got restaurateurs who are giving me an award today is because I am an innovative thinker. And with all due respect, maybe that's why he's a chef and he's not owning a restaurant yet. I have to think of things that will get the public through the door, that is innovative, that will save them money and still be quality.
I want to know is, does the health department know about this?
What do they need to know? I'm serving food. I've got a health license.
Do you have... Yeah, I was going to ask you. Has your restaurant been inspected?
Absolutely.
What grade?
I've got an A.
Are they aware of the fact... Now, and the lady asked this question. Are they aware of the fact that you're serving leftovers?
What difference does it make?
Okay, so they don't know then. Fine. That's the answer. They don't know.
Wait a minute. What do they got to know?
That you're serving other people's leftover. Okay, is it family style? Is it
tell
like
me that your husband.
Table?
Tell me your husband hasn't reheated something that's come back to the kitchen.
I don't think so. I don't think he's ever done that.
Come on.
We're talking about a 5-star restaurant. I don't think they would do things like that.
Are you telling
me
they don't reheat
a black Angus steak? Yeah,
they
right.
don't reheat
don't
a black.
So.
That somebody sent back. That someone sent back. What, do they throw it away? I don't think so. At our restaurant, a guy doesn't like his steak. I'll say, you going to finish that? He'll say no. I'll go over to table 3, and I'll say that I've got a black Angus steak that the guy over there at that table doesn't want. Do you want it?
Do the customers know that you're doing this?
What do you think I'm on the air tonight publicizing it for, ma'am? Have you ever had goulash?
Yes.
That's leftovers. Have you ever had gumbo, shepherd's pie?
I don't think goulash is leftovers.
That's all leftovers.
It's just meat that's cooked for a long time.
All right, if this lady comes into your restaurant, what do you say to her?
Ma'am, what would you like to eat? Let's see, what's your favorite dish, ma'am?
Okay, now let's say I come into your restaurant, I didn't hear this on the radio. Are you going to tell me that you're doing this?
Let's pretend, okay? Go ahead and order something. What would you like this evening, ma'am?
Okay, pasta with marinara sauce.
You want some pasta with marinara sauce? Would you like a nice red wine with that?
Sure.
Okay. Do you see that man over there at table 4?
Okay.
Let's say I'm pointing out somebody to you, okay?
Okay.
He doesn't want the rest of... excuse me. He doesn't want the rest of his.
And?
Do you want it?
Hell no. I'm going to order my own. I'd rather
pay what are you doing in my restaurant then?
If I knew, I wouldn't even put my foot in that door.
What's wrong with it? We heat it up.
I don't even eat my friends' leftovers.
Wait a minute. Isn't there a better way of saying to them, do you see that guy over there? Do you want his? I mean, it's just
crazy.
You know,
we kill all the bacteria and crud that remains on the plate.
How do you know you kill all the bacteria? Do you check it out in a microscope?
Well, we put it in the microwave. We have shellfish stew with shrimp, scallops, and clams that, you know, maybe somebody doesn't want.
I know.
Do you like jumbo? Do you like jumbo?
I said
gumbo, not jumbo. You like that?
Okay.
We can get it from a guy who doesn't want his.
Anyway, let's go around the circle. If this is
crazy,
that's what I'm talking
about.
If the health department knew about it, they would come close you down.
Well,
that's
okay.
What I'm saying.
All right, well, screw it then. You don't like it?
We'll report you. Thank you very much. This is a waste of time.
Come on
and
have something to eat, okay? See if you can keep it down.
I get the distinct feeling you're screwing around.
I'm not screwing around, Phil. I'm just trying to give people a laugh. You know, you make a big enough dish and it'll work its way around the you make a big enough dish, it'll work its way around the restaurant all night.
Great. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bob Green is with us. He is with Windows on the Boulevard Restaurant in Pasadena. This weekend, they inaugurate table-to-table service where you can order a dish, and then they'll point out somebody in the restaurant who's eating it and say, do you want the what's left of his? That's what they call table-to-table. It's basically eating leftovers, and you're paying one-third the price, which is you have to admit that's pretty attractive. 1-800-44, although I don't particularly appreciate the way he's articulating it here. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Forgive me. Since I gave up the cigarettes last Saturday, I'm going into the vending machine and I'm eating corn nuts. I'm eating everything. But I'm also getting out and I'm exercising, so I think I won't put on the 88 pounds that I put on the last time I quit. If you'd like to visit our website, what does that say? Yeah, absolutely. If you want to visit our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and that'll tell you about our show. And a rather spirited, our webmaster is Bill, and he's been getting into it with Gary Franklin. You remember Gary Franklin, the guy who was the film critic? And Gary has a website. And so Bill and Gary have been trading emails. And Gary, I guess, thinks my show just absolutely sucks beyond all recognition. And Bill has been telling him how full of crap he is. So it's kind of an interesting. I don't know if he'll post any of those things or not, our webmaster. But go to philhenryshow.com and check out the latest on our show. There's also a list of affiliates there. People ask, where can you pick up the show? And we do have a list of our affiliates. And how many have we got? 23 or something like that. So we're on the air a couple of, like a month and a half. Hey, what do you want from me? 1-800-449-8686. Bob Green from Windows on the Boulevard.
Phil, you got to come down to Windows if you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, because we've got a tremendous health-conscious dishes, chicken.
I'm going to ask you a question. What if I come in, what if I'm one of the first customers of the day? Will I get the fresh stuff and then everybody else gets my leftovers?
No, if you're one of the first customers of the day, all you're doing is you're getting what the people from the night before ate.
So in other words, you're keeping the last foods of the stuff the people the night before ate?
That's correct. And by the way, the menu is a little limited because if you come in first thing for the dinner rush, for instance, and you order the prime rib, and nobody ate prime rib the night before, then you're going to have to go with a second choice because there's obviously no prime rib to eat.
No, so you don't. In other words, if there's no leftovers,
If you order prime rib and nobody ate prime rib, but somebody might have left maybe some steak, I can give you that. So I'll ask you. You'll say I'd like the prime rib, and I'll say a guy left some steak. Do you want his?
Right. And I think there ought to be a better way of putting it, man, is all I'm saying, okay?
Well, Phil, we want people to know what they're getting. And we really want people to understand it.
All right, but going up to a guy and saying, a guy left some steak from last night, do you want his? It doesn't sound like the best way of putting it. Here's Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes.
I've just been listening to this, and it's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I eat leftovers.
It's a different idea, yeah.
They're what's left in the bowl. I don't eat off somebody else's plate. There's no way you can convince me that microwaving kills everything. What if somebody has hepatitis?
What do you mean, what's left in the bowl?
I can't believe the health department would actually approve that. I know North Carolina wouldn't.
Well, hold on. What do you mean what's left in the bowl?
We serve out of bowls when I'm at home, gravy or biscuits or potatoes. It comes out of a bowl onto my plate. What's left in the bowl is what's the leftovers, not what's on my plate. If I don't finish on my plate, it goes in the garbage or it goes to the dogs.
Well, so what are the leftovers?
Huh?
What are the leftovers?
The leftovers are what's cooked more than what you need.
Well,
I don't understand what leftovers are.
Are you telling me that you throw away perfectly good food? See, that's what we're going against at our restaurant.
Well, that's fine, but I don't think that a health department, at least North Carolina Health Department, will never approve
something
like that.
Well, let me ask
something,
sir. Okay, it may be, but what I'm saying is, you like gravy and biscuits and what, chicken or what?
All of it.
Okay, well,
but not after somebody's had it in, had their spoon in their mouth and put it back into
what
it.
Do you no. usually, what do you usually eat with the
That's
gravy?
Like the,
what do you usually eat with roast beef, a roast?
What do you mean?
What do you usually eat with the biscuits and gravy? You're saying what else? What is the meat?
Oh, chicken.
All right, chicken.
Fried chicken.
All right, so you come into my restaurant, and you say I'd like the fried chicken with gravy and biscuits, which, by the way, we have an absolutely delicious fried chicken with gravy and biscuits. And I'll say that guy over there didn't eat all of his.
He took a bite out of it.
Right. Do you want it?
No. There's
all
nothing you can
was,
do. What
wait a second. All he took was a bite out of it.
What if he has hepatitis?
Do you want it for one-third off? I'll give it to you for one-third
I
off.
No, I don't want it for free.
Yeah, and what was your question? What if he has hepatitis?
Yeah, what if he has hepatitis?
I doubt very seriously if he has hepatitis.
Well, then you don't understand the health
restaurant
business.
Wait a second. I doubt it. The guy looks, perfectly healthy. He looks
Ten years ago, Guilford County had an outbreak of hepatitis that over 400 people got. Don't
well,
tell me that it doesn't happen.
They didn't get it from restaurants. They got it
they
from,
did get it,
from,
no, they got it from restaurants. The health department keyed it down to two restaurants because people not cleaning their hands and the servers. But it could be the same
servers,
thing.
Servers, not the customers.
But if the customer has it, and if he's ate it, one restaurant picks it up there and goes to another one, and he puts it in his mouth,
yeah,
and then
that's
puts
the
it
point.
Plate, he's going to pass hepatitis on to
That's a very
else.
Good point. There's a good point the man's making, okay? And I have a question. What about the silverware?
Phil, we believe in the total immersion into leftovers, so we'll wipe it off with the person's napkin because we want them to have that experience. And we.
Well, you're doing what? I'm talking about the silverware that the person is eating with.
Yes, the silverware that you would eat your chicken and gravy, for instance, sir, would be the silverware that that person used.
Oh.
But we're wiping it off with a napkin. Come on.
Ooh, wiping it off. I mean, if you went and scalded it, I mean, in North Carolina, utensils must be heated to a certain degree before you can even let somebody use them.
You know, you seem a little.
I'm surprised that California doesn't have the same standard.
You sound a little picky to me.
I'm not picky.
And I'm asking you, do you want to save
money? I'm not going to eat something that somebody else had in their mouth, no.
I'm not asking you to eat what they had in their mouth. I'm asking you to eat what they didn't eat.
If they bit off of it, they've had it in their mouth, sir.
We cut off the
chicken wing. If they take a chicken leg and bite off of it, they have had it in their mouth.
But I told you, we cut off the tooth mark parts.
I don't care. It's contaminated. Do you not understand microbiology at all?
Sir, of course I understand that people get sick.
I don't think you do.
I understand. But you're telling me the guy...
You can't wipe off silverware and tell me that it's clean. It's got to be sterilized.
We get most of the scum off.
Most of it.
Get most of it off.
This is a joke.
No, sir, it's not. No, sir, I'll tell you something. Windows in the Boulevard Restaurant, you can call us at 213-251-3189.
California Health Department has given y'all permission to do this. You have their permission.
I don't get why I need permission. We wipe, like I told you, we wipe it off with a napkin.
Because, well, and at least in North Carolina, the state health code.
If somebody sneezes, it's your lucky day.